We have today in the gospel lesson from St. Mark a very fascinating problem because we have two really juxtaposed passages. We have in the first part of our reading today a very open statement from Jesus, a very accepting statement from Jesus. Here we have the disciples. We have John coming and saying, look, we've got somebody out here who's delivering and casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us. He wasn't doing the things that we do. He wasn't following you. He wasn't one of your disciples, and yet he was casting out demons in your name. It's like they were jealous. Here was someone who wasn't following Jesus, and yet using Jesus' name to cast out demons. And Jesus says, don't stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able to soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. Whoever is not against us is for us. This is a very open, welcoming, and accepting statement on Jesus' part. And the church seems to love this passage. It says, oh goodness, it doesn't really matter if you are trying, if you are reaching out. If your heart is with my heart, then take my hand. It's this beautiful image that says there are no divisions or separations. It doesn't matter, I've heard it used this way, but it doesn't matter which denomination you are so long as you follow Christ. And I certainly agree with that. It's a very welcome, warm statement. And then Jesus turns almost immediately in the very next verse in Mark's gospel and issues what many people say is one of the harder sayings of Jesus. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. Wow. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For some reason, my brothers and sisters, we do not hear Methodists preaching on that second passage very often. It's rare that you hear a Methodist pastor even use the word hell. And if they have to read it from Scripture, they pass it over as quickly as they can. I am guilty of that. Oh my goodness, I'd rather not preach about hell today, Jesus. Why did you have to put this passage here? Why did those who devised the lectionary have to add this passage here? Couldn't they have skipped those verses? It would have made my life a whole lot easier if Jesus hadn't said it. And if the lectionary divisors hadn't included the reading. What is Jesus saying here? What does Jesus mean? What is his intention? What is his understanding? Why is he saying such a difficult thing after having just said, "Don't stop someone from casting out demons in my name, for whoever is not against us is for us"? Such an open and welcoming statement, followed by such a difficult one. What's he mean? Well, I can directly link it to John's attitude. We saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. Oh, he wasn't following us, and we tried to stop him. What an arrogant statement. Because he didn't do it the way we thought he should be doing it, because he wasn't following us or following you the way we think he should be following you, because he was not one of the 12, because he wasn't a disciple, and he was simply casting out demons in your name, we tried to stop him. You tried to stop him from doing good? You tried to stop him from casting out demons? I can see Jesus scratching his head. Now, wait a minute now. He's casting out demons in my name, and you tried to stop him? I'm going to dock your pay, John. Oh, this arrogance, this attitude, we see it in the church continually. This attitude that we're better than the others. We got a bigger church, we got a better church, we got a richer church. We see it all over the place. Our church really believes in Jesus, and you can tell it because we're growing. Or our church really believes in Jesus, and because of that, we're really small. I've heard it from both sides of the equation. Jesus' response is very simple. Look, this person's just starting out proclaiming me by casting out demons. Don't stop him. Indeed, it's just like tying a millstone around a child's neck and throwing them into the deep. If your own arrogance causes you to stumble in following me, cut it off. Get rid of it. If your hands are causing you to do something that you know you shouldn't do, cut it off and get rid of it. If your eye is causing you to go astray, pluck it out and get rid of it. Get rid of anything that is causing you to stumble or fall or go astray in following me. And then he follows it up with a powerful statement. For everyone. Now, that "for," that word "gar," "for" in Greek, means that what he's getting ready to say is following directly upon what he just said. What did he just say? It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye, or one hand, or one foot, than to have two eyes, or two hands, or two feet, and be thrown into hell. For everyone will be salted with fire. Now, what does the fire do? Fire destroys. Fire warms things. Fire also purifies things. Fire is not just destructive. Fire brings with it a purification. And so does salt. Salt not only causes the retention of water and hence high blood pressure, salt also makes things taste good. And it preserves things. Before the invention of refrigeration, you would salt your meat to preserve it. Salt has a preservative function, as well as adding spice and flavor to life. You ever try to eat popcorn without salt? Especially, remember the days before you had those packages that you put in the microwave? The days of air-popped popcorn? where you had that machine that blew hot air and you put the kernels in it and it got really hot and they'd start to pop up and they'd go off into the bowl, and then you take the bowl and you sit down in front of the TV and you'd start eating during Monday Night Football and you realize, ugh. And you try to put the salt on and the salt kind of just falls off the popped corn because there's nothing to stick it there because it's been air popped. So what do? You go and you get some butter. And you heat it up and you pour it over the popcorn to then make the salt stick to it. Yeah, that's the reason why you did that. Not just to make it taste even better and be fattening even more. I mean, that air pop popcorn is supposed to be really good for you. But it's not when you add that butter and salt. Salt makes things taste great. Makes things taste good. It also preserves. Likewise, fire brings heat. It brings light. It brings a purifying characteristic. You heat up things and you kill bacteria. You can cleanse and sterilize and purify things. Burn off the impurities with fire. So fire is not just destructive, it's also purifying. So likewise, Jesus is saying here with salt. Salt is good. Can I get an amen? Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace. And here's the trick. Here's the hard part. Here's the part that links it back to the very first part. And be at peace with one another. Don't allow your own arrogance, your own understanding, your own belief system, your own preferences to so get in the way of proclaiming the good news, of delivering people from that which oppresses them. Don't allow your own self to get in the way of you accepting others who are delivering people from the devil. Don't allow your own preconceptions and predilections and understandings and misunderstandings to cause you to reject someone else simply because they don't follow Jesus the same way you do. They may have a different way of following Christ. In other words, Jesus is saying here, be open. Whoever's not against us is for us. They're delivering people from demons in my name. If they are not going to lose their reward. They will eventually come around to faith. Don't stumble. Don't fall. Don't go astray. It's better to remove the impediment than to go to hell. Jesus is clear here, and his warning is clear here. We need to be about proclaiming Jesus Christ. We need to be about proclaiming the love of God. We need to be about reaching out to the last and the least and the lost. We need to be reaching out with the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to those who have not heard it. We need to be proclaiming him and not fighting amongst ourselves, not demanding that others follow the way we follow Jesus. We need to be doing what Jesus has called us to do. It's what I said last week. The main thing should be the main thing. And all the divisions should go out the window. With the hand and the foot and the eye that causes us to stumble. I am a United Methodist elder. I was ordained in 1991, a deacon, 21 years ago. That just blows me away. 18 years ago, I was ordained an elder in the church. A whole generation, 18 years. Kids who were born the year I was ordained elder have graduated from high school. That scares me. I am identified with the United Methodist Church. But when it comes down to it, I'm a Christian first. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ first.
I'm a follower of the Master first. I'm a believer in God first. Amen. I'm a favor, a person who exercises faith first. Amen. A proclaimer of Jesus first. I love the United Methodist Church. I wouldn't have struggled with it for 21 years plus if I didn't love the United Methodist Church. But there are things that our denomination does that bring me to the point where I almost need to cut it off and throw it away. But then the church does things like Northgate with the back-to-school program and the reading program and the food pantry and the clothing pantry. The church does things that remind me that the church is about doing and being the main thing. Or when my dad died in 2007, 5 years ago, this past May. And not only my congregation showed up, but half the clergy of the Dallas South District, a third of the clergy of the Northeast District, and clergy from Wichita Falls, Sherman McKinney, Paris Sulphur Springs, Dallas Ditton, over 63 clergy showed up to support me and my mother and my brother and our family in our darkest, deepest, hurting moment. Brothers and sisters in Christ coming together to lift each other up so that we might be about proclaiming the gospel to all without paying attention to the particulars, the specifics of their following Christ. I have brothers and sisters in the North Texas Conference on the complete bipolar opposite ends of the theological and political spectrum. And I love them all. And because of that, and because of the commitment that this church and other churches I have served and those clergy that I know and love, I don't cut off the United Methodist Church and throw it away. Even though events like General Conference this year make me want to do it real quick with a blunt knife. My brothers and sisters, we are called to be about proclaiming Jesus. Amen. We're called to be about offering the love of God to all. We're called to be doing it in word and in deed. We're called to be doing it without regard for what they have done, what the other person has done. Because God loves all. God so loved the world. That famous line from John's Gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, my sisters and brothers, we are called to reach out with the good news to all without regard. And when something causes us to stumble, when something causes our eye to stray, when something causes us to hold back from service, some predilection, some belief, some prejudice, some bias, it's better to chop it off and throw it away than allow it to lead us into hell. Oh, Greg, you don't believe in hell, do you? Ooh, that's a hard one. Because I believe in heaven. I believe in heaven. I know there is heaven. Because heaven is being with Jesus. And we are with Jesus now, so in that sense, we have access to heaven now. But it's also somewhere else. But do I believe in hell? I have seen hell. I have experienced hell. And more than just in a PPR meeting, friends. Although I have experienced hell there with members of the Ku Klux Klan sitting on the other side of the table looking at me. That's hell and demons. Yeah, I believe in hell. So frequently we bring hell here to this life by how we treat and mistreat others and refuse to do the gospel and refuse to live in love with others. But is there some other place? I would hope not. But Scripture tells me, unfortunately, that there is. I would love it. I would love it if everybody could go to heaven. But Scripture tells me that there are some who don't want to go. We are called to proclaim the gospel to them in ways that will help them to see the love of Jesus and know the love of God and say, yes, I want to go and live eternally with Christ my Lord. That's what we're called to do. That's the people we are called to be. A people of salty characteristics, bringing spice to life. Some people say, why are you such an expressive, energetic preacher? Because I can't stand dull, boring sermons. So I refuse to try to preach them. I know I've preached a bunch in my life, but I try not to. We're called to be salty, spicy, preservative in this world by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. And when something gets in the way of that proclamation, something gets in the way of our proclaiming Jesus, something gets in the way of our casting out demons in His name, something gets in the way of it, we should cut it off and throw it out the window. Ooh, that's still hard, Greg. Yes, it is. But it's better to do that than to spend eternity separated from the love of God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.